Something pretty big is going on in the city, and it was unveiled today in the form of a 100-page recovery plan. It's called the Economic Recovery Plan, but it's much more than economic. It literally re-envisions, what everything that makes up this city really will look like in the near-term future and beyond. The mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, stood in front of the old water tower, which survived the Chicago fire. No short of symbolism there, as you might imagine. She was explaining that we will rebuild, that there is a brighter future ahead, and she called this a once-in-a-generation opportunity. It is a bold plan. It is ambitious. There is so much in it, and it's 100 pages. It was just released. I scanned through it. I haven't really been able to dig in and learn the details. But we have someone with us, and I'm so happy he was able to make time for us today. Sam Skinner, former Secretary of Transportation under George Bush, and an attorney who's been very involved civically, and we thank you for that. You are the chair of this task force. Sam, thank you for calling into WGN.
Needed to do so, and also I say I'm the co-chair with Mayor Lightfoot. So
got to get that in. I know that's an important thing. Thank you. Thank you for pointing that out. I know you've been close with the mayor.
She and I are the co-chairmen, but she's on the left side and I'm on the right.
She's the boss of the page,
so she is the leader in this. And I'm delighted to be working with her and her outstanding staff, I might add.
No doubt. You know, you've got your work cut out for you here, and I wish all the success in the world with this going forward. It's so many great challenges facing our city to re-envision what this future looks like in this environment. And can you give us kind of an overview, Sam, of what people might want to know about what these recommendations are about, how this city is going to transform?
Sure. First of all, this is a report that was prepared over the last 7 weeks by a task force of hundreds of people from all parts of Chicago and the Chicagoland area. So it's the collective wisdom and experience that's been gathered in this report. And there are actually 17 recommendations in it, but there's really five priorities for the city of Chicago. And one of them is the importance of understanding what's happened to our citizens as a result of this pandemic. And what's happened to them health-wise, what's happened to them, what is it going to take for their emotional and mental health, and also how do they get that, and how are we sensitive to that? So we're basically talking about an effort that will create a region within the city and actually in the Midwest here that will be the state-of-the-art on delivering mental and emotional health resources to the communities in question. You'll be able to call a hotline and get some help. You'll be able to help figure out, we'll try to help figure out what you need and try to take care of that. So we'll be building a network of professionals that will be able to supply online with telemedicine and in-council meetings as necessary. And that's very important because as these people come back, they've been traumatized and they've got a lot of emotional health issues, and we've got to deal with that. And that's the first part, but that's just one of the other parts. And the other is to recognize, as you said, this is a very complete report, and there's a lot to do, but we got to understand that the times have changed, and what's going to change as a result of this epidemic, and what is we going to do in Chicago to rebuild back our economy and to be competitive and relevant in the new economy of the future. And there's several things that we're going to do. Is what's obvious to us is the people that have been displaced are many young workers in maybe the black and brown areas of Chicago as well as other parts of the region. And we've got to recognize that these people maybe have to be reskilled for the future and to help them understand what they need to do and then deliver that kind of education so we can enhance employment. We think there's real opportunities in contracting and construction industry right away. We think there's a lot of opportunities also as a result of what we enjoy in this region, which is it's a transportation hub, it's a distribution logistics center. In addition to that, we're the center in the Midwest of delivery of healthcare and life science resources, and we've got also a strong region in food and agriculture, and we want to build on that and then rebuild our historic strength in manufacturing and presenting a case that, number one, the things to understand is we've done a better job, the city of Chicago has done a better job of managing this from a spread viewpoint than almost anybody in the country, and we're in the lead there. We're ahead of the curve, and we're staying ahead of the curve, but that allows us to start immediately delivering some of these resources to the people that are mostly in need. But there's several other things we're going to be doing that I think will be pretty interesting to watch. It's a multi-year process. It's going to start in phases. We're going to rebuild over the next, beginning next week, and start all going on for an extended period of time. But we're going to pick it apart a little bit and do it piece by piece. So we'll have some quick wins.
I hope so. I mean, we're all looking forward to that. Sam, you're former Secretary of Transportation. What kinds of things can we expect as you look at transportation in the city, how we proceed? What does that look like in the months to come?
Well, we believe that technology is important as we go forward in building any of these infrastructures. The mayor this week announced a major investment in infrastructure and Wi-Fi coverage in the south and west sides of Chicago. What we found as a result of our study that when the school shut down, a good portion of our population didn't have access to the Internet and couldn't do online learning. And so, therefore, they basically were left behind. And as a result of this, we're going to make an investment, and we've got the private sector making investments, and the government will make investments, and we're going to build out an infrastructure which will be high technology, broadband access across the city, which will be no cost or low cost, so everybody will have access. Because you can't be a relevant player in the future markets in Chicago if you don't have access to the broadband technology. And also we'll help to train people for this new technology, because a lot of people have come into Chicago, a lot of companies come into Chicago because of our central location, because of our broad, robust system of infrastructure and technology as well as transportation. And I think they're going to want to take advantage of that going forward, and we got to be ready for them with people and technology that will do that.
You know, you think about the kinds of things, you address tourism in this as well, bringing people back, I think, regionally at first and trying to do that safely, of course. But you think about the things that define the city and why people come here. You're right, transportation is one of them. I saw that O'Hare is now the fifth busiest airport in the country. It's usually the first. Down DFW, I think, is first. I know Charlotte's up there, Denver. We've fallen, people are not coming here, and we understand why, but we're known for our great restaurants, our conventions. We're known for festivals and all the kinds of things that don't really exist all that well in this environment. And how what do you do about that?
Well, Anna, you've nailed it. So we talk to people throughout the country. They talk about how attractive city of Chicago is to visit and to have conventions and to do business in. And it really is, before the virus breakout, it was very, very solid. And we think we're going to be able to get that back because we do have all of that. But the first order of business is to make people safe and feel safe. And they're not going to travel. They're not going to come out of their homes. They're not going to come into the office and businesses unless, number one, they feel safe. Number two, they know that the location they're going to is safe. And number three, in the case of people with younger families, that their children can be taken care of through schools or other resources so they can go back to work. And that's the thing that we're leading the nation in. You know, some of these states have got out front. And, Dallas-Fort Worth and some of the other places may be busier than we are right now. But in addition to that, they've got a higher infection rate than we do. And as you know, most everybody believes that these states came online too quick. We're, I think, right at the cusp. And Mayor Lightfoot is very vigilant on setting the metrics and sticking with it. And she's taken some heat over it, but it's turning to be the right decision.
Yeah. Sam, do you have a few more minutes with us?
Sure, go ahead.
Let me pause here for a second. We'll be back with Sam Skinner.
No problem, Anna.
Thank you so much. There's so much to ask here. I mean, this is such a bold initiative, and I do want to ask you about, I don't understand how conventions can exist, but that's a big part of this, introducing Chicago's master plan and showing the world Chicago is open for business. We're going to go to the David Hochberg phone line in a minute, by the way, just so you know. We know we've renamed that. And so thank you, David, for coming on in studio. I got to get to this because Sam Skinner is waiting online, and he's a very important person, and I want to hear what he has to say and also get to your calls here. Midwestern University Eye Institute, located in Downers Grove, is fully operational with patient safety as a priority. The clinic provides comprehensive care at an affordable price, including eye exams for contact lenses, eye diseases, and vision therapy. Pediatric eye exams are available for children of all ages, including those with special needs. They also have a newly expanded optical center. Visit MWUClinics.com. Call 630-743-4500. The Eye Institute at the Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic, your family's home for health care. COVID-19 had almost had Fernando Jones singing the blues, but he won't let coronavirus stop the music. Blues Camp lives tonight on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock. Right, we're going to get to your calls in just a second. Sam Skinner, former Secretary of Transportation under George Bush, 41, and also he is the head of the task force, the co-head, along with Mayor Lightfoot, who is the co-chair of this task force, to re-envision what our city looks like. Sam, I guess I got to ask you this before, and I appreciate your time. There's so much to get to, and we hope maybe you'll call in again as things sort of materialize, but the convention business, the tourism business, that is such a question mark in my mind. I can't even produce an image in my mind of how we might have a convention in the future in this city. Can you give us any word on that? Part of this report says, let's show the world Chicago is open for business. The mayor says, let's introduce Chicago's master brand.
Well, that's a very good question. And we don't know exactly when conventions are going to start at the levels that they've been in the past. A lot of people would say until we get a vaccine, people won't feel comfortable coming to conventions. We're also hearing that conventions, as we typically know them, may change as a result of this. A lot of people have been using Zoom and BlueJeans and a number of these communication vehicles and holding meetings. So we're not sure where conventions and how they're going to play a role as they phase in. Obviously, we're not going to have convention business unless people feel safe coming to Chicago or to Orlando, New York, wherever it is. It's the key is at this stage is to hold them, do our distancing, do our masks, hold it down so we can contain it. And then we're going to try to play it by ear a little bit as to when we can start having bigger meetings.
Yeah.
But we do know, and it's pretty clear now, that if you get 1,000 people in a small room, and any one of them has the virus, that it can be processed and put forth into a lot of people, and you just can't get in a close room with someone who's got it and not find yourself at risk. And people know that intellectually, so we're going to be looking to the people that basically sponsor these conventions and events, and whether or not they feel safe to come. If they don't feel safe to come, the events aren't going to go forward. And part of that will be get a control on it now, and the second is with the efforts that are going on in Washington and all over the world, hopefully to get a vaccine so people will feel more comfortable. But it's going to be a while before they come back because, frankly, you know it, I know it. I saw it today as we were launching this program. Individuals came up to me and say our biggest problem is, am I going to be safe when I come back to work? I want to come back, but am I going to be safe? Am I going to be safe? And is the organization where I'm going to, a building, a convention, or whatever, do they understand what they have to do in distancing and these other things to make me safe? So,
am I going to be safe is the big question. Hey, Vic is calling in, and I think he's an old friend of yours, Sam. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Vic. You're on WGN. You got something to say?
Hello.
Hey.
Sam, how you doing? Vic Justino from Howe Street.
Oh, wow.
25 years plus. And, you know, I've been involved in Chicago history and tourism for years. One of my thoughts to be with the economy right now and the kids, and I've trained a few, is that the seniors in high school and at the City College, that we start courses on Chicago tourism to teach them how to be tour guides in Chicago where they can make a good living of their neighborhood, et cetera, knowing the city,
yeah.
How to get around, have them get a certificate once they've completed it. And tourism is the biggest thing.
Hey, Vic, give me a second here. I want to make sure Sam has a chance to get an answer in here before we run out of time. Sam, do you like this idea of tour guides?
Well, I think yes, I do like the idea, but more importantly, I think there's a lot of people that we now got to reach out to. We don't want them left behind as we recover. And training for jobs like this and other jobs that are available in the community. And we've also lost the cycle of learning here for the last semester. We've got to recoup that. But finding a way to help people make this transition and to retrain them, as Vic was talking about, is the key. And the private sector will play a major role in that, just like he was talking about a minute ago. A lot of companies we're going to try to empower to do that and help them, and they're going to help us by giving us the facilities and the people so we can basically mentor these young men and women as they move into the workforce.
Sam, I so appreciate you joining us, and we're going to continue the conversation. And I just wish you sincerely the best of luck with the road ahead and implementing these plans and the work you've done. And thank you. Thank you for everything you do.
Well, Anna, thank you. I want to just, before you cut off, I just want to thank you because I think you do get it. So anytime you can enlighten people on your show about what we're doing will be appreciated because communication is very important.
I agree with you. And say hi to your daughter, actually. I think I don't know if you know this, but I knew your daughter at Northwestern, Jane, and she's a lovely person. I haven't talked to her in years, but say hello.
I sent her an early draft of the program, and she said a lot of work to do. It's very well done and a lot of work to do. And
good luck,
right.
Dad.
She's trained at Medill like you were, so
that's right.
We've got good people working for us.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Anna. I'll tell her you said hello.
Okay. We want to get to your calls still, too, but do we have a minute here, Pete? Okay. Let's hear from Tony. Go ahead. You work at McCormick Place, and we've heard from you before, and I just want to have you weigh in here. What are your thoughts as you just heard from Sam Skinner, and you hear a little bit about the plans and the road ahead? I know it's been a very tough road for those of you tradesmen who work over at McCormick Place during all of this.
You know, what's frustrating, Anna, is that we're not getting any, the governor, the mayor, nobody's telling us anything. Not even a maybe. You know, we want to get a plan together. Do we need to wear masks? Do we need to take our temperatures at the gate? Whatever we need to do, we're ready to do it. But nobody even wants to go down any path right now. And don't just forget the conventions at McCormick Place. You have conventions at Navy Pier, the Hilton, the Hyatt, Palmer House, Marriott, the Rosemont Convention Center, Navy Pier, and some of us work on the movie and TV sets, and those are all at a standstill. So right now there is nothing going on, and there's no answers with anything.
So basically things came to a screeching halt for anyone who was in the convention business at the beginning of this, 4 months ago, roughly. And since then, it's sort of been a complete shutdown. Is anybody able to find work elsewhere, Tony? I mean, is this just sort of a... That is one of the devastated industries, clearly, the convention business.
Yeah, there's nothing anywhere for us. That's the electricians, the carpenters, the teamsters, the riggers. There's not a lot going on outside of that. And we're always able to fall back onto, like I said, the movies and the TVs, and we don't even have an answer when they're going to start.
Mm-hmm. So you'd like more answers about what this looks like, because it doesn't look the same, we know that, at least not until there's some sort of vaccine or treatment or something like that ahead. But what kind of answer would you want? What would you ask the mayor if she could hear this?
Well, we know it's all about safety, and we don't want anybody getting hurt, you know, ourselves or the conventioners. But we need to get a plan. You know, the mayor's crying that the city's broke, the governor's broke. We're throwing away hundreds of millions of dollars every trade show by not doing something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and this sort of sounded a little bit like 9/11 because that was the last time the convention industry took a hit. Mm-hmm. Was people were afraid to fly, they were afraid to go into a crowded convention center, but we addressed those fears with security and the promise of safety measures, and we got everybody back, and everything was on board, and everybody was happy. And then, of course, this happened. We just need a plan, and nobody wants to get a plan together.
Yeah, yeah. I just, I feel for you and the people who do what you do, because those are good jobs normally, and those are some of the jobs that have gone away. One of the things that Sam and I didn't have a chance to get into there is they're trying to re-envision, they're trying to build the middle class here in Chicago. They're saying it's now roughly 16% of the population. It used to be 50% of the population in the 70s, but there's this wealth disparity too they're dealing with, and how to sort of bring people up within the system. Those are the kinds of jobs that we need to preserve. How you do it, that's the big question mark. But thank you for calling in, Tony. It's good to hear from you, and best to your family in times like these.
Thank you, Anna. Take care.
You too, Tony.